الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We are going to start, inshallah, in this series of lectures about imamate in the Holy Quran. We know that imamate or al-imama is one of the principles of faith. It is the fourth principle after Tawheed, Aad, Nubuwa, and it comes imamate, and then Ma'ad is the fifth one. And our method of discussing it, not the usual method which is mentioned in the books of Ilm al-Kalam, it is a new method of discussing imamate through the Holy Quran, and we try to elaborate what the Holy Quran says about the imam, his attributes, his characters, his knowledge, his role in life, and so on. This way of discussing imamate is actually a new way, new because in the last 14 centuries of Islam, Muslim scholars used to discuss imamate as a political leadership only. The difference, the main difference, let us say, between two Muslim sects, the Shia and Sunni, they said imam is the political leader of the ummah. Now who is that imam? Should he be through shura, as the Sunni says, or appointment, as the Shia says? Is it necessary for the imam to be infallible, as the Shia believes, or he may be only just? Even if he is not just, still is okay, as long as he is a leader and running the affairs of the Muslims. So they used to discuss one aspect of the imam, and that is political leadership as a ruler of the country. And they said, now who is supposed to be in that position? Of course, that type of discussion in Ilm al-Kalam or Islamic philosophy also will elaborate the attributes of the imam, that he has to be infallible, has to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has to have special knowledge. But the usual discussion is just to reply each other. Now you see, we are not here to reply what different Muslim sects believe. Let us come to the Holy Quran, and of course with help of the traditions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim, and they will naturally explain what the Holy Quran means and says in a right way, no doubt. To discuss imamate in the Holy Quran, actually we see that the imam has much more role in life than only a political role which is discussed. We see that we are going to discuss that in detail, that imam first has a universal role. Universal role means his presence is important for our universe to remain intact. The rules of the life around us depends on the presence of imam or an infallible person. So his role is not only important for the human beings, but is important for the universe around us. That is one aspect. The second aspect is the legislation or Sharia to educate and teach the people about the Islamic laws, and to teach the people about Islamic laws that necessarily necessitates that he has to be always infallible, so that his teaching will be always correct and right. And third is political leadership as a leader to lead the people. And of course, within that, we see the leader has to be obeyed, and in order to be obeyed, then has to be infallible. That will come with it. And the fourth, he is a good example to be followed, al-qudwa al-saliha, or al-uswa al-hasana, as the Holy Quran says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, wa lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. And you have about the Holy Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, as a good example to be followed by the people. For that good example is important, because the ideology alone is a theoretical matter, and to bring it into reality, you have to make sure that it is practical and the people can practice it. It is suitable for life. You can imagine theoretically a lot of ideals, but these ideals are not practical to be followed. Now, religious beliefs, is it only theoretical, not practical, or it is practical? If it is practical, you need a good example to practice all religious rules and regulations, so that the people should not argue that it is good, but this is ideal, we cannot practice it. You say, no, you have a good example, and that is the Prophet or Imam. He is a good example. He practiced all the religious rules and regulations, and it was possible. There is nothing difficult, nothing impossible about it. So that is again another role for the Imam to be discussed. For these different roles to be discussed, generally, that will bring us to the subject that Imam has to be first infallible, because without infallibility these roles cannot be run. Secondly, Imam has to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the human beings do not know who is infallible, who is not, and who can run such a universal role and who cannot. Only Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, so he has to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, the imamate has to be continuous matter, will not finish. The Sunni view may say that imamate can finish, there is no political leader. Nowadays we don't have caliph, for example, in our time, so it has finished, it is okay. We say no, imamate cannot finish, it has to be continuous. Because for all these four roles to be fulfilled, then there must be always an imam existing. He may have a political leadership, may not, fine. There is another important role for him, and that is universal role. So many roles are there. If one temporarily is not possible, like at time of occultation of the 12th Imam, but still, what about his position for the universe, which is important? So that is another point to be discussed, that Imam is continuous. The fourth point, the Imam to be infallible and to be able to execute his affairs, he has to have enough knowledge, and that knowledge is not the knowledge we learn, has to be a special way of knowledge. You see, the knowledge of the Imam is not like our knowledge by reading and studying in under certain teachers, and he will got that knowledge needed to play this great role. No, the way of the knowledge of the Imam is special way. And we know that the best example is about Imam Ali alayhi salam. At time of the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Imam Ali and talked to him for a while, and then When he finished the talk, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ألف باب من العلم يفتح لي من كل باب ألف باب. The Messenger of Allah has taught me 1,000 door of knowledge. From each door, another 1,000 door will open. So, to learn 1,000,000 door of knowledge in a few minutes is not an ordinary way of learning. And we know some of the prophets, like Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. He was a prophet while he was a child, a baby. So, naturally, he did not get the knowledge in an ordinary way. He got the knowledge in a special way. So, the knowledge of the prophets and of the Imams is a special way of knowledge. Again, the fifth point we are going to discuss is about the matter of shahada, to be a witness on deeds of the people. Because we see the Holy Quran mentions that there is a shahid, somebody witness what the people have done, and in the day of judgment he will be a witness that these people were good or were bad. They did good, they practiced their religious duties, so they have to be rewarded, or they have done a lot of sins, and then these sins have to be dealt with accordingly, punishment or forgiveness or intercession or whatever way. So that is another role for the Imam to have, and that is as a shahid. Actually, we have to add it with the fourth role. This is the fifth role of the Imam, to be shahid. But then it is one of the attributes of the Imam also to be shahid. Now we have to see in the Quran where is it mentioned and what is that role for the Imam to be shahid. And also we see that is maybe part of the role, that universal role, that his presence is a place for coming down of the angels at Laylatul Qadr. You see, the Imam is the one who received the whatever revelation or message or whatever thing the angels will bring at Laylatul Qadr. In Surah Al-Qadr, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. The angels and the ruh, the spirit, will come down by permission of their Lord with every amr, order or affair. Now, to come down to whom? Who will receive that order? And what is that order? Again, this subject has to be discussed in detail, and that will elaborate the position of the Imam and what this Surah Surah Al-Qadr has to do with the living of the Imam. Imam has to be living always, as we say, because Imamet is continuous. So this is the general outline of the subjects to be discussed about Imamet. And as we see, we have to discuss mostly from the Holy Quran. Of course, the Holy Quran is always in the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Exegesis of the Holy Quran depends on the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what other mufassirin, people who wrote the exegesis of the Holy Quran, what they say, and with that we can have a better idea of tafsir of the Holy Quran. So this is an outline of the subject about Imamet. Here, just in short, we are going to discuss the ayat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where the Ibtala Ibrahim Rabbuhu bi kalimatin fahtamuhun, in detail. This is meaning in detail. We discuss ayahs وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, again in details. The other ayah, أَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا رَسُولُهُ لِلْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, that has to be discussed in detail. And similar ayahs are in the Holy Quran, has to be discussed and elaborated in detail to see the exact meaning of that ayah and where it will give what we have seen, where it mentioned that the Imam is there and the Imam has to be infallible, Imam has to be appointed by Allah, Imam is continuous. As we said, our Imam is a good example, or the knowledge of the Imam is a special way of knowledge. In these ayahs where we can find these points which are important to know about the Imam. One of the important ayahs in this subject, it is at the beginning, we are discussing actually Imamate in general. You see, the subject has to be discussed into two main parts. The first, Imamate in general. Who is the Imam in general? Now, it is not about particular Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam or Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Imamate, what is the view of Imamate? Like when we discuss the prophethood, we said prophethood in general. What are the attributes of the prophet in general, and whether the prophet has to have certain attributes? Then we come to prove prophethood of each individual prophet. Now, how to prove that Musa alayhi salam, prophet Moses, was a prophet, or Jesus was a prophet, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet? That is particular. But subject sometimes in general, sometimes in particular. Now, at the beginning we discussed the attributes of the Imam, whatever Imam, you know, in general, according to the Quran. Then we come to Imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where Imam Ali has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran and with the help of the traditions of the Holy Prophet about him. So that is Imamate of Imam Ali in particular. So at the beginning we discuss Imamate in general, and naturally that will help us to understand that who deserves to be Imam. And then when we come to the Holy Quran and we found that the Holy Quran appoints Imam Ali alayhi salam as the Imam for the mankind after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the picture will be clear completely for us. One point here also is good in the introduction of the subjects to be discussed. The difference between the Nabi, the Prophet, the Rasul, the Messenger, and the Imam, let us say the leader. Because sometimes it is mixed in mind. What is the difference between the Nabi or the Rasul and the Imam? Whether they are the same, the prophets are the leaders, are Imams always, or not Imam? And what is the difference between Imam and the Rasul or the Nabi? If we go to the Arabic literature, the meaning, dictionary meaning, Nabi is the one who yunabba, is given a news, a view, something. Yunabba, somebody is talking to him. So the Nabi is the person which he receives revelation from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the Naba, the news, the view, which comes from Allah. So to whoever Allah reveals certain revelation, then he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that prophet may be a prophet for himself alone. He is not sent as to deliver a message to people. He should know the fact, and he should practice the right things and obey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, because he knows that. Sometimes the prophet is sent to people to guide other people. Now these people may be in his city or his country or universal, whoever they are. So here he becomes a messenger. Rasul, messenger, because he is carrying the message of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed to him through the people. Then he come to the people and say, oh, the people, I am the prophet of God and I am the messenger of God to you. Almighty God orders you to do this and that. This is lawful, it is unlawful, it is your duties as a human being to practice. So every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Basically, any messenger who comes with a message to people, naturally he has to be a prophet in advance so that he brings the message. But there are some prophets who are not a messenger. He's a prophet maybe to himself or to his family alone, not to deliver a message to other people. Now, Imam, from the word Arabic, amma, is to lead, or he led. The one who leads the people is called the Imam. And this word is used in Imam al-Amma, the general Imamate, means the leader of all the Muslim Ummah. Or sometimes is used for the prayer, we say Imam of the Jama'at, who lead the congregational prayer. Well, it is used also in Arabic language for the camels, the front camel who lead other camels. Usually the camels, they follow one who is in the front, and that is the way how they move in one caravan. So the first one, wherever it moves, others will follow. So that's called Imam of the camels. See, the word Imam means always the leader, the one who leads others. In the Holy Quran, Imam used in plural, that is plural of Imam, is used in two meanings. One is Imam who leads the people for guidance, because he is a leader for the guiding the people to the right path. He is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is used otherwise also, A'immat al-Kufr, Imams of infidel or non-believers. So there are certain people who lead other people who are non-believers, and they lead them to the wrong direction other than the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them are leaders. So the meaning of the Imam, as you see, is a leader. That is what we want to see. So it might be leader to right path or leader to wrong path. May lead to paradise or may lead to hellfire. So it depends whoever is a leader, that is the Imam. So that is the meaning of the Imam. Now from this alone in the language, we know very clearly that Imam is different from the Prophet and different from the Messenger. Imam is a leader, and the Messenger may not be leader. The Messenger may bring the message, but may not lead the people. The Prophet may get the message, but he may not be Messenger and may not be leader. So the Imam may be the Messenger, may be a Prophet, or may not be a Prophet. Or let us say some of the Messengers of Allah are Imams, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was Imam and Messenger and Prophet. Like the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was Prophet, Messenger, and he got Imamate at the end of his life, as we are going to discuss in the ayat of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So some of the prophets, let us say the great prophets, are Imams as well. But the vicegerents of the prophets, and you know each prophet has a vicegerent, they are Imams, but they are not prophets. They lead the people toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they guide the people. but they are not a prophet. So they are imam. So there is a difference in the word between imam and messenger and prophet. And that is important to be kept in mind, because some may argue about certain ayahs, that these ayahs are discussing about the prophets. Well, it may not be. Why then the Holy Quran, instead of using the Nabi or Rasul, he used imam, if it is discussing about their prophets? The prophet may not be imam, may not be Rasul. So if the Holy Quran says imam, then it is meant an imam, a leader. Or maybe a prophet, but such a prophet who is a messenger and who is a leader, or may not be. There are certain people leading the mankind to the right direction, and they are imam, and they are not a prophet. Like, as we said, the vicegerent of all prophets, for every prophet there is a vicegerent, and that vicegerent is an imam, is a leader, but he is not a prophet. So that is important also to know from the beginning, that the word imam in Arabic language differs from the messenger, Rasul, or Nabi, the prophet, and also its meaning is completely different, and the Holy Quran also has used it in a different way. He used the Nabi, he used the Rasul, and used Imam, and used it in the plural, also A'imma has been used in the Holy Quran, and as you see, A'imma, the plural of Imam, were used in a good way, that imams who are guiding the people to the right path, and used in the Holy Quran those who guide the people to the wrong path, and this is A'immatul Kufr. So that is about the meaning of the imam in the Arabic language, and its differentiation from messenger and prophet, from Rasul and Nabi. So that is, I think, sufficient as an introduction for this subject. And now we discuss the first ayah, which is related to this subject, and that is about the beginning of the creation and the creation of Adam alayhi salam. سورة البقرة آية 30. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرفهم على الملائكة فقال انبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم. فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. آية 30-33 of Surah Al-Baqarah. I read the translation and then we discuss it point by point. Recollect, O our Apostle Muhammad, when said your Lord to the angels, verily I intend to appoint a vicegerent in the earth. They said, will you, our Lord, appoint therein one who will cause mischief and shed blood while we celebrate by thy praise and hallow thee alone? Says the Lord to the angels, verily I know what you know not. And he taught Adam the names, all of them, and then set them unto the angels and said, declare you to me the names of these if you are truthful. They said, glory be to you, we have no knowledge save what you have taught us. Verily, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. Say to O Adam, inform unto them their names. And when he had informed to them their name, said the Lord, said I not unto you that verily I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth, and know that which you declare and that which you conceal. In short, the meaning here, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning of the creation of a human being on this earth, he said to the angels who were existing, that I am creating, or I am appointing a vicegerent in the earth. إِنِّي جَاعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. The angels argued that why you are putting on earth people who create mischief and bloodshed, while we glorify you. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I know things that you don't know. And then he told Adam the names. Allah made Adam to know the names. And then he asked the angels about the names. They said, well, we didn't know about them. We have no idea. And Allah said, well, I know what you think hidden, or what is exposed of your knowledge. And then asked Adam alayhi salam to inform the angels about the names. There are many points here to be discussed on this ayah, but we'll go through it one by one. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said at the beginning, إِنِّي جَاعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am appointing or making, whatever is the translation in English, a vicegerent on earth, Khalifa on earth. Now, there are many views here that this Khalifa for what? A vicegerent for what? Some said vicegerent for certain other nations. Other creatures were there and they died, so the earth was without any human being, and then Allah is making a vicegerent to be vicegerent to them. But commonly it is accepted that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appointing someone who has freedom and has willpower and will be vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to run affairs of this earth. And because he has freedom to do or not to do, to practice the law or not to practice, then here there were a fear from the angels that they say, oh my God, you are creating someone with this freedom, and if he has freedom, then he may not obey the rules and regulations. If you do not obey, that will create mischief on earth, and there will be bloodshed, and that will spoil this earth. So that was their worry. Now we come to the point, Jael, to discuss it today, and we leave another subject maybe to another lecture. Here we see the Jael in the Arab Khalifa. Ja'al in Arabic is used as fa'al, the object that I am appointing, I am putting. Now, when you say جاهل in Arabic language, it has the meaning and the feeling of continuation, not only one time. It means that the caliph on earth will continue, will not stop, and will not stop only with Adam alayhi salam. We say إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً does not relate only to Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. So you know, Prophet Adam is the first one, and that appointing a vicegerent will continue on earth. So Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wants the earth to be filled with human being as a creature, to live on this earth, and the earth should not be empty. Well, before that time it was empty, or if we accept certain traditions, that there were some other creatures like a human being or something else, or these are other traditions. But talking from Prophet Adam till today, that let us say our era, where we the human beings are here, literally all the human beings now are the descendants of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to put a vicegerent on earth, and that vicegerent, he said جاعلون, as we say, means I am continuously having one there. Now the caliph of God or vicegerent of God cannot be a man with mischief and bloodshed. You see, if a respected man, I see if one of the religious scholars, if he sent somebody representative, he said that I am sending Mr. So-and-so as my representative to you or the believers on this city. Now will he send a corrupt person, a bad man, a man who will stole money of the people, who will cause the people to do wrong things, or he is a good man, he is a good man? Well, if he is representing the, let us say, religious scholar, the marja for example, naturally the representative has to be a good man, should not be a bad man. That is what you expect when you delegate someone. Then naturally depend on your position, your representative will have the same caliber. If a prime minister sends somebody in a delegation, he will not send an illiterate person to represent him. Say the prime minister is in a very important position, and he will send someone who is very qualified, very well educated, and he can represent the prime minister in a proper way. So the one, if a doctor sent another doctor to treat a patient, naturally he said, well, I am the specialist and I have no time, and I have sent my colleague to come to see this patient, for example, he will not send a layman who is not a specialist. Naturally he has to send a specialist or someone who is a doctor who knows medicine to represent him in treating the patient or managing whatever medical case. Now Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing, all wise, and he wants everything to be good for the mankind, and is not willing for any mischief and no bloodshed. Almighty Allah is willing to be there, and He is appointing a vicegerent. Now can that vicegerent be an ordinary human being who do all the mischief and all the wrong things and all the killings that we know? How many people are killed by the dictators and bad rulers? These ordinary people are meant by vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth? It's really not. We cannot think in that way. So we cannot say that every individual human being is vicegerent of Allah. Allah will not appoint corrupt people or dictators, or those who do all types of wrong things and mischief on earth. Almighty Allah appoints between people who are good and have a good representation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mankind. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He says, He practices the truth, ذلك بأن الله والحق, the real, the truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So literally the representative of Allah on earth has to be at least infallible, to do everything good. He cannot do mistakes and still continue as the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Somebody who is doing mistake and doing mischief cannot be the good representative of Allah, and Allah will not appoint him in that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appointing a representative. As we say, the humanity, the generations of the human beings are continuous. Now the Prophet Adam alayhi salam was at the beginning of the creation, but if he dies, there must be other representatives of Allah existing. Not only it will finish by Adam alayhi salam, another representative after him should be there, and that one, if he dies, the third one and the fourth one, and so on. So the matter of representation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth has to be continuous. And as we say, the word ja'al also, it gives that feeling in the Arabic language that it is a matter for the future. It is given a feeling of the future, but not the past. It's that only one and we finish now. It is a continuous thing, one after the other. And as long as the humanity is there, the human beings are there, so there must be a representative of Allah for them to be there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am appointing a vicegerent in the earth. Now here, the angels have realized naturally that the vicegerent has to be a good one. Allah is appointing. The vicegerent has to be infallible. The vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to obey the rules and regulations of Allah. And materially the angels themselves, they are aware of the rules and regulations of the universe around us. Because as we see from the Holy Quran, the duty of the angels is to run affairs of the universe, whatever activities. There is an angel for rain, there is an angel for mercy, there is an angel for punishment, and every angel is appointed to do certain job as it was appointed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every angel is doing his job, and as we know, the angels are infallible. They will not disobey Allah, as the Holy Quran says, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Will not disobey Allah with what He has ordered them, and will do whatever orders given to them. So they will practice without any delay or without disobedience. So the angels, they do that. So they run affairs of the universe very nicely, correctly, properly, and that by itself will make everything in order. Every law is related to other law, so everything will run in order. Now the sun, for example, has to move in its own direction, and that movement literally has to come from a source, and that source, maybe one of the angels is running it, or whatever power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may discuss that some other time into details, but what I'm saying, there is a law. The sun, if want tomorrow to say, okay, today is holiday and I want to stop, naturally it will spoil all of it will get destroyed. So what I mean, there is obedience to the law of Allah. The gravity is important for the life on this earth, for a human being, an animal and everything. Now if the gravity tomorrow decides to stop for one day, so today there is no gravity holiday, now naturally the life will get spoiled. And all these are laws of Allah for the universe. It's a universal law. And these laws have to remain intact always. There is no disobedience. Any disobedience will create a lot of problem. So that's why the angels are responsible to run all these affairs of the universe around us. The earth and the sky and the heaven around us all is run by certain laws, and the angels are appointed to do these laws. So that is why they will not disobey. Now this is the new caliph who is coming, new vicegerent who is coming on earth. Will he be having willpower to obey and to disobey or not? If he is like angels, has no power, always has to obey, then he has become angel, not a new vicegerent. Now, is vicegerent of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have willpower or not? Almighty Allah, is murid, has irada or not? He is forced to do things in that way. Literally, we know that Allah is murid, has willpower. He can do things, he can stop doing things. And that he has willpower. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willpower, his vicegerent will have similar attributes. So the vicegerent of Allah on earth, what is going to have? Willpower. He is not forced to do, he is not predetermined to do things by force. Like angels, they will do it because they were created in such way that always will obey the order. No, this new creature, a new vicegerent on earth, has a willpower like Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willpower. He is vicegerent of Allah. Now, this new creature that Allah is creating on earth has the willpower. If he decides tomorrow to disobey the law of Allah, like we said, the gravity won't take holiday one day, will it spoil the environment around us or not? Eternally. If every disobedience means the law will get changed, so every disobedience of this new creature will create corruption on this earth. It depends on whatever disobedience is there, how much that disobedience is important. But anyhow, any disobedience has its effect on the universe around us, because it is all proper law, proper rules and regulations. So the angels have looked, yes, this new creature is the vicegerent of Allah, but he has willpower, and if he has willpower, he may use his willpower in the right direction to obey, and he may use it in the wrong direction to disobey. Like the gravity, say, okay, I'm not forced every day to work. Today I will not work. Now that will create corruption for this beautiful system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And create bloodshed. Because this, in your creation, may attack each other. Because he needs certain things, and if what he needs are not under control, if his selfish desires are not controlled, then he may transgress and do injustice to others, and then bloodshed will start. So the angels are looking to the situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created very beautiful law for this universe, and now is creating a new creature whose activities are affecting the universe. That is giving him a willpower. Now, what if this new creature decided to disobey the rules and regulations? It will create corruption on this earth and create bloodshed. So that is why their reaction was there that, oh Allah, why you are creating that? We are not aware of your wisdom, that how you are creating a new creature who creates mischief and create corruption and create bloodshed on this earth, and you don't need to spoil this earth. If you need people to glorify you, we are وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So we celebrate by thy praise and glorify you. So that was the meaning why the angels had this reaction. As I said, if we studied from the beginning, they should not have that reaction. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am appointing a vicegerent, and the vicegerent has to be a good man. So why the reaction was that he is going to be bad? From where that reaction came? The malaika knows vicegerent of Allah. Must be Allah appointing somebody who is good. He's not appointing somebody who is bad. So, and they know that there is also rules and regulations running affairs of this universe. They know it, because they themselves are participating in running the affairs with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deputed them to do. So now, they have seen that it's through this new creature with a willpower, with a new attribute, that the malaika lack that attribute. Malaika do not have willpower. They always do whatever they were deputed to do. They will not be able to stop. But the new creature has willpower, has freedom, has irade. And that he may not obey the rules and regulations. And by his disobedience, here the problem will come, the corruption or mischief on earth will happen. And if they attack each other, the bloodshed will be there. So that is why the angels have that reaction. Of course, if you go to the books of Tafsir, many explain it in another way. Some say, because the malaika have seen people before Adam alayhi salam doing the bloodshed, that is why they say this one is like others. But this type of relating is not correct. If others did wrong, it does not mean this new creature will do wrong. Malaika, why we think in that wrong way? Others, if that is true, I mean, if that tradition is true, and there were some other creatures before the human being, those creatures are responsible of what they did. This new creature is not responsible of them. So if they were wrong, why Malaika are accusing this new creature to do mischief also? So it is not wise of the Malaika to compare this new creature with those, or to blame or to accuse this new creature that he will be the same. So that type of tafsir of explanation may not be right. Some say the Malaika has seen the jinn on earth, and because the jinn are like a human being, they also have willpower. And they may, maybe believer, maybe not believer, as the Holy Quran says, there are among them some believers, some are non-believers. So the jinn may disobey the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may create mischief or bloodshed or corruption. So malaika saw the jinn, and now when they saw the human being, they said he may be like them. But again, the same argument. Why they compare the human being with jinn? Jinn are different type of creature, not similar to human being. And they have not seen the human being to do bloodshed. So why they, from the beginning, accuse the human being that he is going to be wrong. Why? There is no reason. So when you create zero militancy, what the human creature is doing, it may not be similar to jinn, or may not be similar to other creatures. So if we think deeply about this matter, you see, they must have seen that he has a willpower. And the willpower means may obey, may disobey. And if you disobey, then the problem will be there. So, they said, that is the difficult to give such a great responsibility to a person who may not feel responsible about it. Great responsibility means to obey the rules and regulations. If not, then he will spoil that you are giving to a new creature who may create that bloodshed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see from the Holy Quran, did not criticize them that, oh, what are you talking? I am appointing someone who is supposed to be good and nice, and I am telling you that he is my vicegerent. Now you are talking nonsense about my vicegerent, you are abusing him. What are you talking? We don't see that type of criticism in the Holy Quran. It looks like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows naturally, but he deals with them, he realized the source of their worry, why they are worried. And he solved that worry through another way. And that another way is by telling Adam all the names, and then Adam taught them, and they were not aware of these names. And that's what has solved the problem and the worry of the malaika. I think it is sufficient till today to discuss about this part of the ayah, and inshallah, the next session we will discuss about these names, who are these names, and what are the importance of these names to remove the worry of the malaika. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.